Yeah.
Dude, Sandra Bullock. Oh, she's still hot.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
Anyway.
We actually started watching The Net.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And?
We've only gotten like, we were really tired when we started it, so we only got like 20, 30 minutes in.
Oh, okay.
But
it's a slow going movie.
Yeah. It's really confusing. Sure. It's like jumps right
in
too.
It's like pop, pop, pop. Yeah, all the stuff's already happening.
Yeah.
The guy like gets on the phone and is talking to her like, this is already going on. We're already doing this. You know, it's crazy, dude.
But I'm going to have to watch it.
TBH, sure. It is pretty good. Oh, a movie I want to see right now. I want to see Vice, dude.
It's a good movie.
You have seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
It's a good dramatization, right?
So, I don't know his life at all.
Hmm.
I don't know about Dick Cheney, dude.
Cheney? Well, Cheney's a badass. Whether you like him or you don't, he's definitely a badass.
Yeah.
Really?
Because it's so funny how a lot of conservatives pinned him up. Okay, I say a lot of conservatives. You know, growing up in Texas, you're in a small town, and most of your family's probably redneck, and they're all freaking country, and they're all like, conservative, yeah, pow, pow, you know?
Yeah.
Well, those people, my family, you know, Dick Cheney's a bad guy, basically, is what the narrative there. They're like, yeah, he's a bad dude.
Why?
I don't know. That was always the narrative. I don't know. That was always what it was.
Because he shot his friend while he was hunting?
I have literally zero idea. I was a kid. I just know that was the narrative that I always got, you know? But I never really went into doing any research and anything. So
yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, he's very controversial.
That's why they said he's a bad dude. He's a bad dude, you know?
Yeah.
He's a politician.
He's a politician who got rich off the Middle East conflict.
Boom.
For sure.
Like, see, that's maybe why they did it. I don't know, dude. I don't know the guy that well. That's why I want to watch the movie, though. So I can get an actual, true-to-life, perfect depiction of the guy.
But I will say the acting in that movie is like the acting in that movie is really, really good,
dude. Of course it is. Have you seen the cast is insane.
Bale, yeah,
I watched the preview and I was like, I'm in.
Yeah,
give me more, bro.
It's good.
Welcome back to the Toast Podcast, guys. I'm Sky.
I'm Maddie B. You want to try that again?
No, I don't, dude. I'm good. I'm into it. I'm feeling it, bro.
Feeling.
And if I'm hyper, weird. And dude, it doesn't matter, man. Doesn't matter. Oh, have you seen The Big Lebowski?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, man. Am I wrong? Anyway.
You're not wrong.
Anyway, guys, if you haven't already, go like this show. Go press the like button and
subscribe.
And subscribe. Do all of it.
All of it.
Like, share, subscribe. Also, we sell merch for the Toasty Podcast on toastycreations.com/shop. If you want to represent, that's sick. You can also win one of our Toasty Teas on the Facebook freaking question, which we get into later on in the episode.
Discretion is advised, because if you say something dumb, I will come after you. I'm gonna start getting on FB Live or the FB like comments, and I'm just gonna like feel like that was dumb. What you said was dumb and ignorant. I'm not gonna go that hard, but
Maddie B's comments do not represent Toasty Creations or the Toasty brand in any way.
These opinions are of the author exclusively and do not represent this.
Oh, man. Tell you what, man. It's been crazy, dude. It's been a crazy 24-hour freaking like just turnover of governments. So I don't know what to tell you there.
In Afghanistan?
Yes, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just not here. It's been just crapola since
crapola. Dude, Australia, too. Martial law. Lockdown? Like, they're literally military.
Are they, okay, are they actually in martial law?
The military and the police have been given orders to go and arrest people that aren't following the mandates.
Well, it's not martial law.
To stay inside.
Is it?
What's not martial law about that?
I mean,
isn't martial law hiring the military and police to, like, get rid of freedoms? Well, like, what do you want me to say?
Martial law is a whole separate system of laws. So martial law means there are no civilian police. It means there are curfews in effect.
Right.
It's usually nationwide.
Yeah. Dude, this is insane. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, dude. It's crazy, bro. I mean, it may not be technically martial law, but you know what I mean?
I mean, this says Australian troops will help enforce a coronavirus lockdown.
They are doing it. I know that part, but that doesn't mean
that's really martial scary. Law. Like, what the heck?
But it is. It's insane. The way it's going. So, okay, let me rephrase then. Maybe it's not technically martial law, but the fact that they're implementing their military to enforce some of the lockdowns for COVID.
Yeah. That's really messed up.
That's really messed up, right?
Yeah.
So there were riots ahead, like before this, all this stuff occurred. There were protests, all this stuff happening. People were like, no, we don't want to be locked down again. You know, and then next thing you know, they've got the military to step in. That's what happened. They literally were protesting and then military.
Yeah. When they violate your right, well, I mean, they don't have a right to peacefully protest in Australia.
Right.
Like we do.
But you also know why that works in Australia? Because they don't have any freaking guns, because they gave them all back.
Sucks to suck, Australia.
Sucks to suck, Australia. You know, whenever you have a time to stand, you got to do it. Because if you don't, you forever hold your peace, dude. You know? Speak now or forever freaking hold your freaking peace, bro.
Yeah. Buy guns, buy
crazy,
ammo.
Dude. It's crazy,
man. That's
the
thing, man, is I got into this like a couple days ago, week ago, whatever, on Twitter. Some guy was like, they're not coming for your guns unless you do something dumb, and then the sheriff is going to take them away. I was like, they don't just come knock on your door and say, hey, can I have your firearms, please? Because no one, that's never worked in any, like, world history. Like, no one does that. That's never been the thing. It's always like, hey, we've evolved past everyone needing guns. Like, we've got crime under control.
Right.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
You know, we'll stay locked down in our house super safe.
And for your safety, let's add on, like, let's get your guns as well.
Yeah, you know, it's for your own good. It's for the good of the society. It'll stop mass shootings, right? Myth. And then, you know, everything will be just copacetic, man.
Like, why did the Jews get on the trucks to go to the concentration camps?
There's tons of reasons. Like,
but they were
the government turned society against them.
They were also told, yeah, that Jews had typhoid or typhus? They had some disease.
I don't know. I'm sure they were told that they were just...
And that it would be safe for them to get on this truck and go away or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
These buses or whatever
Yeah, I mean, the people were lied to, the propagandists, but... I mean,
if you think, see, that's what I don't understand.
It's totally,
people think that it's just going to pop up one day. That's not how it works, dude. It's not how it works at all. None of us will have any idea, but that's why you need to have your eyes open more. You need to be like, okay, we need to look around and see what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and always be on edge for something to go the wrong way, which is what's happening now. So now that we say all these things, people are like, no way. No, it's happening.
Guys. But I was telling that guy on Twitter, I was like, it doesn't just happen overnight. Like, it's not just like one day all the cops come and takes your gun, or the National Guard or whatever comes and takes your guns. I was like, it happens with like, oh, here's a mandatory buyback. And then it's just restriction and regulation after restriction and regulation. They slowly encroach on those rights.
Just like the freaking 15 days to flatten the curve. What has that turned into?
Mm-hmm.
It's turned into vaccinated and unvaccinated have to wear masks inside and outside. Australia, Sydney, there was a guy that came up and literally said, it was a clip on Twitter. He said, and it was in a little press release, he was like, you can no longer, you know, take your mask off to drink outside. Yeah. Basically, I think he was trying to say stay inside, but he said it that way, and it was like, what the hell?
Their health minister literally said, we need to limit conversations. Like, if you go out, if you do go outside, and if you happen to see your neighbor, don't engage in conversations.
Are they even thinking about the mental aspects at all?
No, that's the thing.
It's like, are they doing this? You want to say nefarious, and they're doing this on purpose and all this stuff, but are they, like... Like, how can you not think about the mental health of doing all this stuff? How can you not think about that?
Because they are so tunnel vision, laser focused on COVID and what it does and what could happen and the worst case scenarios, right? I think that's the best case scenario. I think that's all the benefit of the doubt right there.
The benefit of the doubt is them.
What I think is actually happening is that the people pulling the strings, the big money, right?
Yeah.
The Amazon, right? Those big corporations, the ones that are doubling the size of their company and doubling their profits off of COVID, those are the ones saying, oh, we need a lockdown. And they got the biggest lobbyists.
All they have to say is, you know, well, I mean, it might be safer if we lock down. It might be better. They don't even have to say, like, we need to do it. They just said, it might be better for humanity.
Yeah. And don't worry, we'll make it really easy on you by shipping everything right to your door. Just join Prime and it's free.
All right, well, enough about America and scaring you guys on America. Let's scare you guys on Afghanistan.
Yes. So,
you want to just play this clip? Or not yet?
Let me set up the clip real quick. This is...
Paint me a word picture.
these are the Taliban here. I would say that bearded dude, they all have beards. the guy sitting down, right? And notice that they all have weapons, okay? The guy sitting down is...
Except for the megaphone guy.
Is the leader.
The water boy.
He's a spokesperson. That's funny. He's the ugliest one, too. Jesus. well, they're not good people. Like,
oh, God, they're going to show up. No, I'm just kidding. All right.
They would if they could, but they can't. But so anyway, the Taliban are just swooping over Afghanistan, like the whole country. 80% of the territory is in Taliban hands now. And they controlled roughly like 30% of the territory, like at the beginning of last week. Like, it's just been a flood.
I just don't understand.
Taliban have been waiting and patiently, like, building resources, spreading their tentacles underground as much as they can, waiting for the day that we would eventually leave. The thing is, though, if we'd have just left a residual force, a little bit of air support, like in Bagram Air Force Base, the Taliban wouldn't have been able to take over, because the Afghan military actually had capabilities to call in U.S. airstrikes. It would say, hey, you know, we got some Taliban over here, come and get them, and U.S. airstrikes, done.
Right.
We haven't lost a single U.S. soldier since February 2020. And we just lost one then. So in the past, like, 2 years, we've lost one soldier in combat in Afghanistan.
Because it's all done by airstrikes and drones. Right.
Exactly. We're not really. We have boots on the ground, but we're not running into buildings.
Okay, but are you trying to be an advocate for still having troops there?
Absolutely. Because if you leave, there's a huge power vacuum, and look what happens when there's a power vacuum. You've got Taliban sitting in the presidential.
Okay, but what I want to ask you is why? What's gonna? Okay, so tell me what the future holds then, if it's that big of a deal. Actually, you know what? Before we get to that,
play the clip.
I'll play this clip. And we'll
so yeah, this is the leaders of the Taliban sitting in the presidential office in Kabul, Afghanistan.
And if you guys are watching on YouTube, you'll see the clip. I'll post it up. I won't play that much of it because YouTube will probably take us off if I play any clips like that. On the podcast, you will hear the audio. All right.
Get that WD-40, bro.
I've sprayed it.
Here. Live and exclusive pictures here.
Freaking ads, guys.
So this is exclusive from Al Jazeera, which is a Qatari-owned site, and it's basically funded by terrorists a lot. So don't trust everything you hear from Al Jazeera, but they are who knows? They're the only people that had access to this.
But they also want, this is absolutely terrible. Why isn't this working? They also want us to know about this stuff. The Taliban. Like, I feel like they're flaunting it like crazy.
Of course they are.
Come on, dude.
But are you seeing any other, you're not seeing, NBC in there with them, and like any U.S. press, nah, they're gonna
if they from inside the presidential palace. What you are looking at, right?
Yeah, and in another clip I saw from Al Jazeera was one of the Taliban fighters saying, "Yeah, I spent 8 years in Guantanamo." Yeah, and I'm to my knowledge. To the best of my knowledge, I think President Obama was I don't know if he was the only president to release prisoners from Gitmo, but he released the most, for sure. Like, a couple hundred. And you know where they went? Straight back to the Middle East. They were released to the it's all coming back to me. This is obviously a while ago. But they were released to
wafting over me.
To the custody of Qatar, which is It's not really funded by terrorism, but it is sympathetic to terrorist organizations in the Middle East.
Really?
And so is Al Jazeera, yeah. So Al Jazeera has been known for basically being a mouthpiece for terrorist organizations a lot and pushing their propaganda. So it's kind of like RT, you know, Russia Today.
Yeah, and I, you know, yeah. I mean, honestly, I get that, I understand, but honestly, right now, Al Jazeera is probably the closest source we have to it because that's who's actually taking over. It's so weird to me though, because the CNN reporter actually talked about this. Right, she's out here, she's wearing a little cloth or whatever. What do you call that?
Burqa.
She's wearing a burqa, I guess, because like they've changed their laws now. Western women also have to wear burqas, right? Okay, well, she's out here doing it. She's a CNN reporter. Okay,
they have to be accompanied by men too.
Right. Well, there's a lot. Okay. Well, there's a lot of stuff being said about this reporter saying, the people that are saying anti-American things like down with America or whatever are also friendly. But that's not how she said it at all. If you watch the clip, I gotta hand it to him. If you watch the clip, this CNN reporter is not saying it like that. She's literally saying, she's like, so it's really weird because they're simultaneously saying down with America, but they're like being friendly about it. And she's like, really weird. And that's what she says in the clip. And then you're like, oh. And then she's asked to step aside. And she's like, I just got asked to step aside because I'm a woman. And so she steps aside. And you're like, wow. But I didn't know. First of all, I didn't know that existed right now. Journalism, you know, from CNN. I didn't know that existed.
A lot of their foreign correspondents actually are journalists.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because she's like out here doing it. She's all dressed up. She's ready, you know. I'm like, damn. But I'm just like, that's crazy, dude. They're saying down with America, like literally like chanting, like, let's go. What the heck, bro? Do they actually think they're going to do anything?
The Afghan citizens or who are you talking about?
Taliban. She's literally with Taliban and they're all around her, you know, with guns and stuff. She's just like, they're just saying, you know, they're going to destroy America basically. How are they going to do that, first of all? That's what I want to ask.
By harboring terrorists like Al-Qaeda?
Well, I would actually argue like it would be something where they get some weird like ally like China or something, you know?
Maybe. I mean, they're already... The Taliban is already being recognized by China, by Russia.
I saw that, dude.
Mm-hmm.
If you recognize, how bad is that? Have we recognized?
Of course not, no.
Yeah.
But it's only a matter of time. I mean, we were already negotiating with the Taliban before President Trump was negotiating openly with the Taliban. Obama was doing it behind closed doors. And, they were meeting in Qatar, of course, because it's middle ground, right?
Right.
The Trump administration was openly having negotiations with the Taliban, but it was going very differently. And the Trump administration would have held the Taliban to account, right?
They
would
not have. Are you kidding me, dude? If they're on the runway, let's just pretend. Or they're in the freaking air, wherever they were at, airport, I guess.
Right.
What was happening in the airport? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if Trump was freaking president right now?
The airport.
And I'm not saying necessarily that it's only Trump. I'm saying that I don't know I could almost argue any other president besides Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Obama, I don't know, but I'm saying literally the way it was handled would have been oh my gosh, we're America, you can't do that crap. You know what I mean? And it would have been like, here's a drone strike or some crap. I don't know, dude. There would have been something that happened. That crap's crazy, man. So what was actually happening there? Like they were evacuating and going to an airport, right? But who was evacuating? Was it like American citizens or was it like Afghani citizens or who was it?
All of the above. So the U.S. Embassy was shut down, I believe, Sunday. And over the weekend, over the past weekend, August 14th, 15th, the U.S. Embassy shut down. They barely got the U.S. flag out of there in time before the Taliban got there.
The U.S. flag?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
it was a close call, like within hours.
They were trying to get the U.S. flag out
of course they were. If they can get the U.S. flag out of the U.S. embassy or even kill a few, maybe even the ambassador, you know, I don't think it was there at the time. But
it's so interesting that that's such a symbol. It's such a symbol that it's like to get the American flag, literally just the physical flag, is like a win for other people, like Taliban.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's huge, so crazy, symbolism. Man.
They would light on fire on the streets and it'd be a big deal.
Right.
Big deal. And
well, our own citizens, like...
are idiots. Anyway, they leave and go back to the airport, which is basically the designated...
safe zone?
No, embassy. They were working out of the Kabul airport.
Oh, wow.
Which only for about 20 hours, and then... they had to frantically leave. Yeah, there was several security breaches at the airport. An active shooter was killed. 7 people were killed on various different related incidents.
Holy crap. One
U.S. troop was injured. That was it. And that could be like stubbing your toe on the way out. Like injury could be pretty much anything. But there's also footage of... like these, I think they're C-130s, big cargo planes, going down the runway, and the tarmac was completely just busted open by Afghani citizens trying to leave the country, like doing anything they could do to leave the country.
Yeah, I saw that. It's crazy.
I've even heard of civilian airlines turning Afghani citizens away. Like, they would, I would imagine, like, an Afghani citizen would say, hey, this is my life savings. I want to buy 3 plane tickets to get the crap out of here. Me and my family, we've got to go right now.
Yeah.
Sir, have you had a COVID test? Negative COVID test? No, but there's terrorists like a mile away right now or less. I need to leave. No, we can't really let you on the plane without a COVID test.
Okay, do you really think it's happening?
That literally happened.
Okay, so if that happens, we are in a weird position then, because you have the border crisis happening right now in Texas where we're letting in all these freaking people just because, and they don't have COVID tests, guaranteed.
About a third
of them have like COVID already.
About a third of them have COVID already.
They already have COVID. But you're telling me...
At least one third.
Well, okay, but here's the other difference, I guess, is those are just fleeing into America, and that's Biden's choice almost. It's Biden's issue. But the airline is not Biden's choice. I think the airlines are... It's a private thing, right? Isn't that how that works?
Well,
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying
I know, but in Afghanistan, I don't know if it's a public airport funded by the Afghani government or what.
So this is going to turn into another one of these situations where they have to like flee some however they can. They have to flee however they can. Get the heck out.
Yeah.
Go somewhere, an outlying
country. It's basically join or die. Yeah, it's basically join or die for the Taliban. But
learn Russia.
There were people piling on the outsides of these planes and literally falling off the planes in midair. There's footage of it. It's nuts.
I think like there was some people that died. I don't know how many. There was like a few or something like that. They have like numbers now that came out.
And the U.S. military was actually using helicopters to buzz the runway to get people out of the way so planes could take off.
Yeah.
It is very chaotic situation.
For sure. But, okay, I will say this, though. Biden actually said something right. He literally said, I've never seen us get out of a war and it end well. Or out of a place, out of a country like that and it end well. He said that. I was like, wow, damn. Like, he was saying, like, there was no... Basically, I don't know. The way he said it was like he was saying there was no right way to end the Afghan war and, like,
that's
pull out.
Totally wrong.
But if he would have just not... He could have just not pulled out. Maybe had 2,000 troops there all the time, you'd say?
A residual force and airstrike capabilities is a minimum, I think.
Well, because, yeah, like we just established, if it was any other president at the airport, Taliban's coming to freaking go crazy and we're trying to get out, someone would have retaliated. Another president would have been like, airstrikes now or...
Well, then you're killing civilians.
Somewhere around. I don't know, dude. There has to be some way, dude.
No, because the thing with terrorists is they love to just sit cozy up right next to hospitals and civilians and places that the U.S. and Israel and other, you know, good countries are not going to strike on purpose.
That's a good point. So then how would you do it then? There's not a good way then, right? See, that's what I'm saying.
The good way is what we were doing before, and that's training and backing up Afghani military. So I heard another statistic today that was more Afghan soldiers were killed in 1 year than all U.S. soldiers in 20 years. That's how much the Afghan military is sacrificing to keep the Taliban out.
Holy crap, dude.
The country, yes. Yeah.
I just think it would take more than just us over there training them to get them to go, you know, be good. You know what I mean?
Well, like, I agree. I don't know, dude. It takes...
Because they're so far, like, as far as...
Afghanistan's about 800 years...
Behind?
Behind.
I was about to say, they're way behind. There's no way they would...
It's like basic tribalism.
Just having a guy over there to train a dude that doesn't even know how to, like, really... I don't know. I don't know how that would work. I'm not sure, man.
Well, that's what I'm saying is you have some training in one base and you have airstrike capabilities so that the Taliban can't just take over like they've been taking over.
Yeah.
And we can at least defend what we have over there. We lost billions of dollars worth of equipment. I'm not talking about like laptops and stuff, floppy disks, all that BS. I'm talking Black Hawk helicopters.
Floppy disks.
Black Hawk helicopters.
Yeah.
I'm talking Humvees. Other trucks, some tanks.
You're talking about over, like just now or over the course of this whole
Afghanistan? No, like this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Billions of dollars worth of U.S. military equipment. Rockets, but now I would guns.
Ask, now I would ask you this.
Ammo.
Why is it so imperative then that we're over there? So why at the end of the day will it affect us if we're all over there trying to build them, make them a good nation or whatever?
I don't think that's what we should do. That's nation building. I'm only saying...
Wasn't that what we were doing the whole time?
No, not the whole time.
Okay.
For the first few years under the Bush presidency, that was what President Bush envisioned was, though we're going to turn them into a democracy, you know, we'll just be there for a few years, they'll realize how awesome democratic systems work, and it'll be great. And that obviously couldn't happen. You can't build a nation out of a bunch of small tribes. It's not possible. What I think would have been the most sustainable solution once we got to that point, and the reason we don't want the Taliban there is because they will make it a safe area, because they're very anti-US. They'll make it a safe area for other terrorist entities, essentially. Al-Qaeda. That's what happened in the 90s and led to the September 11th attacks.
Yeah, Al-Qaeda will be back, pretty much.
Exactly. So we can't leave totally, because then the power vacuum will allow enemies to take over that region, which we just can't have. It's not in the best interest of the country. It's not for our own safety. It's not in our best interest. So all you can do is deter those bad guys from taking over.
I know, but why is it always us, man? Russia and China will want the same things as us. They don't want the freaking terrorist organizations taking over like that.
They do. Absolutely, they do.
You think so?
Yeah, 100%. I thought
that would affect them, too. Wouldn't it affect them, too? Or would it make it,
no, because
it positive for
they're
them?
They're bad countries. Does that make sense?
I mean, I guess. They're, I don't know. Russia, I don't know.
They're nefarious actors on the global stage. I'll put it to you like that. I'm not saying that the Russian people are bad people or the Chinese people
are
necessarily
I fail to believe. I don't know, dude. Maybe America's still great like that. Like, hello, this is an ad. And if you don't like that, that's fine. But trust me, it's good info for you. You have to have a podcast hosting platform if you want to start your own podcast. And that is actually one of the questions that I get asked the most often. It's not politics, it's not society or culture, it's how do I start a podcast? Well, this is how you freaking do it. You start with Blueberry. You can start with SoundCloud if you want. You can start with Anchor if you want, because it's free. You can also start with Podbean, but let me tell you something. I've tried all three of those, and they do not work that well. Whenever it comes to the analytics department, they do not do anything for you. They don't show you your stats. They don't let you look at Spotify stats separately or iTunes stats separately on their own, because technically, it's not your podcast. It's theirs. And that's what this boils down to. Blueberry lets you use your own podcast however you like. They only let you use their service for hosting. It's all it is. It's not a here's my content, do whatever you want with the type of thing. It's a here's my content, please store it in a safe place. And that is all they do for you. The other thing they add is they give you a plugin for your website on WordPress. So I have a WordPress website for our stuff, our content, all of everything we do. It's toastercreations.com. So this is like a double whammy. Two ads in one, bro! Anyway, if you go to that site, you'll see all of our posts are also our podcast episodes. That's how they do it. Blueberry lets me post a blog post right up onto my website, and immediately it's a podcast episode, and it goes to all the podcast platforms automatically. That's what Blueberry does for you. And right now, if you go and sign up and use our promo code STAY-TOASTY, you get one free month to check it out. See how you like it. If you don't like it, well, then you can stop and you don't have any commitments. There's no contract on this, guys. It's month to month, no matter what. That's what's beautiful. So, check it out. Let us know what you think. And if you don't like it, well, then suit yourself. Back to the show. All I'm saying is, America, I feel like there's some nefarious things America does, too.
Well, duh. Yeah, of course.
Or there has been, anyway. Of course there has been, yeah. On a global stage. And so,
but we do more good than harm.
But do you really believe that all the things we do are for the betterment of global humanity?
No, of course not.
Okay, but I feel like Russia and China are kind of the same way. They do things to help themselves out a lot, and then every once in a while they might have something that helps out people. Maybe not China, but Russia. I mean, I don't know. I'm just like thinking, what? Like, why aren't we this? I don't know, dude.
Exactly. Like, it's a feeling that you have, and it's not.
I know. That's
not
why
fact.
I'm,
yeah.
I'm bringing it up because I want you to tell me. You know what I mean?
So yeah, they don't know. Like, there's so many charitable things that the U.S. government does, and that just charities in the United States do, churches and whatnot, charitable organizations, NGOs, whatever, that just does not really exist in other countries, especially like China. You don't see Chinese missionaries running around fixing people's roofs.
Okay, okay, okay.
You might see some Russian missionaries, but they don't have the standard of living necessarily. Most Russians don't have the standard of living to go out and do those things to help other people. Their GDP is like $1.5 trillion. It's like 1/25th.
Okay, I see what you're 20th saying. I see of what you're United saying. States. So they can't even like have the nonprofit organizations built up or anything because they just don't have it. It doesn't exist.
They don't have that kind of wealth.
And that has not. That actually has little to do with America as a whole, but how it's ran. So that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a different value system. And
America
said that
breeds.
Before.
It ends up breeding. Yeah, it ends up breeding like.
Freaking philanthropists.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh wow, cool.
How many Chinese billionaires become philanthropists?
Yeah, dude, honestly, there's a lot of Chinese billionaires. Did you know that?
They're the most in the world.
Yeah.
Actually, it might be Russia that has the most in the world.
There's like over 200 or some crap. It's like a lot of people. Right?
I bet it'd be more than thousands.
Dude, that's crazy, man. Anyway, whatever. Yeah. It doesn't matter. But that's crazy, man. Okay, I agree with you. I get it. I understand.
So anyway, leaving troops in Afghanistan not only is in our best interest, in the best interest of the Afghani people, it is in the best interest of the region because it provides stability, right? Israel's probably much happier if we would have stayed in Afghanistan. Pakistan's probably a little bit happier if we would have just stayed in Afghanistan because the Taliban taking over Afghanistan is right next door. And whereas Pakistan's not necessarily the greatest of all, you know, countries, right? They would definitely. I could see the opium trade and the drug trade in Afghanistan, which is their number one export is opium. I could see that going right back to being their number one export. Instead of maybe trying to find other ways to make money, right? And that's the thing is, now that the Afghan government has fallen, essentially, there's no check. It's just going to be the wild, wild Middle East.
I just hate how we always be like, we're always talking about how, wow, yeah. Like, oh, crap. We're always talking about how, like, man, we just need to, like, focus on America, you know? Like, when's the last time that America was really focused on America?
In the last,
like, 70s?
4 years.
Not even that, dude. No,
I know that was not the 70s.
I know it's what you ran on, but I honestly still don't even, like, it was good, and, like, we had a crazy, awesome economy. But, I mean, like, when did we get into it? We're like, we need to fix the, maybe it was the last 4 years, maybe that's it, you know? I don't know.
Are you asking when
about,
we,
like,
when
the
we,
roots and, like, the big problems we have and all that crap? None of it's really been,
when
like.
When we stopped worrying about domestic issues as much as.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that right there, like.
Woodrow Wilson would be the prime culprit for that happening.
For us just getting it and stop doing that?
Well, he was a big believer in globalism, and he started the League of Nations. Well, he helped start the League of Nations, which later became the United Nations. And his whole worldview was very different than definitely mine, and definitely I think the way that the world is really organized. Because countries exist for a reason. There's a reason there's not a global economy.
See the light change?
Well, there is a global economy.
I just realized I hadn't changed the light, so I'd...
Nice. Like, there's a reason there's not, you know, one big global government. It's because, first of all, look at the dichotomy between Afghanistan and the United States. You think they could be governed by the same people? Like, hell no. No. And Wilson basically wanted democracy everywhere and wanted... kind of like just global government is what he was basically going for in the long term.
The first guy that wanted a global reset.
And that really prioritized America second, you know?
Right.
It was like, no, we need to be a part of the global community and not just on our own.
Which, in I mean, inherently, it sounds like it sounds good. You know, we need to part. We need to really help out other people, kind of thing, right? Is what you're trying to say. But ideally, that's what he wanted. So at the end of the day, his reasoning was off, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like to help people, like philanthropy style, fine, great. But to actually go ahead and say I want a global government mm-hmm. is almost saying that he wants to run a global government.
Right.
And that's like narcissistic and
un-American, really.
Un-American, and seems like
kind of it's
authoritarian.
Yeah,
style.
It gives up a lot of liberty for sure.
Right.
I mean, this is the most free country on earth in a lot of ways. And we have our rights protected by the Bill of Rights and by constitutional amendments.
And that's the one thing I can say that I feel like that's the one thing I can say that is actually going to protect us in the event of, you know, they want to do lockdowns again or any of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a protection there, not just because of the Bill of Rights, but because now we're okay. This is a hope. Now I hope that we have some people that are mindful of what's happening, but maybe not.
There are some people that are mindful of what's happening.
We have the Bill of Rights. So, like, when it really comes down to it, if we get crazy hard and then martial law kicks in, like, let's just pretend we're Australia, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like people would get angry and we would have a, you know, we'd be able to make some things happen, but maybe not.
I think it really depends on the area that you're in.
Honestly, we can't have another situation where we storm the Capitol like we did, unless we're going to, like, storm the Capitol and freaking destroy crap. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to see that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to see that. Like, no one. I don't think anyone thinks about actual war when they think about this crap.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
Afghanis are running for their lives right now. Like, they're like freaking out. Do you think that? Like, why do you think they're freaking out? And you think that you want that here in America? Like, you want a civil war, or you want us to, like, yeah, we need to go against the government, like, with fighting? Nah, dude, you don't want that.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
I think people don't understand. Like, maybe they're not thinking about what it looks like, you know?
Right. And, well, that's the thing is, if the change is forced to be that drastic, right? Like, if we just let it happen, it's going to be another American Revolution. And it's going to be the little militias, the little guy, versus the big giant, what's the word I'm looking for? Just overbearing monster, right?
Loch Ness monster, Nessie.
Sure.
What?
The overbearing monster, whatever, you know, just big government.
The boogeyman. You just say the boogeyman.
Well, not really. The big government, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And whether it's Britain in the late 18th century versus the U.S. colonies and all the militia here. Or it's the U.S. government versus patriots is a word we as Americans have redefined to become pro-country, pro-patriotic, right? It's like you love nationalism, you love your country.
Sure.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
It didn't mean that in the 1770s. A patriot was someone who spoke out against government. Isn't that funny? How it's totally different?
It kind of is different, but I'll say this. They kind of tie together now. Like,
so
you see people speaking out against government, and they are probably patriotic in the new sense, too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So a true patriot would speak out against government for the rights of the people. Right.
Right.
No matter what that is.
Right. Masks. Mm-hmm. Vaccine mandates.
So really, and I've been, like I mentioned before, I've been listening to the American Revolutionary Podcast, and it's amazing. It's a great podcast, like 10 out of 10. It's incredibly slow. Like, it's a years-long process.
If you know Matt by now, if you listen to the show at all, if he's telling you a history revolution podcast is good, it most likely, for the layman, will be a long podcast.
It's
full of good info.
It's extremely detailed.
Probably a lot of good info. Yeah.
It's extremely detailed.
I can already imagine what it's like, and I'm like, man, you know.
It's like, I am 180 episodes in, and we are like about maybe halfway through the Revolutionary War.
What?
And they're like 30. They're like 30-minute episodes. That's how detailed it is. It's amazing, fantastic. He does a lot of research. So
there's a movie. There's a movie that just came out, or documentary that says How to Become a Tyrant. That's the documentary. I want to watch it. Apparently, it like is really good, and of course applicable to right now.
Yeah. So what I was gonna say is the revolution got started from taxation without representation. Every American should know that.
Yeah.
But what's happening right now? We are losing our right to just reasonable privacy. We're losing rights to peacefully assemble. We're losing rights to make our own personal medical decisions.
I mean, honestly, it was for a little while religious freedom. We weren't allowed to be in churches, you know?
Right, yeah. Did you know when states first got started, a lot of them had state religions? And that really? And that's completely 100% constitutional. Your state can have a state religion, but there can't be a federal religion. Something to know.
I mean, the other thing we had is like every community had their own church, you know, it's a little bit different now. It's like all like
mega churches.
Incredible.
Yeah, not good, but that's a whole other podcast. what I was going to say is, so long story short, we're losing a lot more rights than we're being encroached on during the revolution.
Right.
The revolutionaries got a lot more pissed off for a whole lot less.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these taxes that the British imposed, most of them weren't even that bad. They're mostly taxes on the wealthy. And what happened was it just slowly built up. And then one day, I can't remember what. Man, I really wish I knew. I think it was part of the Intolerable Acts, but they started taxing newspapers. And that was like the internet, right? That was the way to get information back then, was newspapers, pamphlets. And they taxed them so much that the common man could not afford them anymore.
Wow.
So imagine if only elites had access to all the information. Which sounds kind of familiar, right?
Yeah, it does, actually.
I mean, think about what happened with the whole Hunter Biden laptop scandal before the election and how Twitter wouldn't let you share that story.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even let you privately share it. I mean, it's what you don't know that's going to kill you, not what you do know. You know?
And that's, yeah, and I that's why, you know, I everyone wants to rag on Alex Jones and, like, just give him hell. And, like, the thing is like, he makes some good points. And a lot of times, somehow, I don't know how, I still don't know how, unless he's just predicting all this crap out of nowhere, I don't know how he knows some of this stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes he knows it to a T, and you're just like, how did you know that? There's got to be a way. And that's what I'm saying. If there's a random average Joe like me, doesn't know these things and can't even find the info, like, you can do all the research in the world, but you're not going to come up with some of these crazy, quote-unquote, conspiracies, if you want to call them that, that mm-hmm. Alex Jones has and some other guys come up with, right? Obviously, there's an extreme. Like, Trump's going to be president again. No, that's not – that's there's a lot of things surrounding that, and that's all just fluff, and it's not real, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's actually a lot of things legally that would have to happen for that to even take place, and it's like, no, that's not going to happen. But, like – and Kamala Harris is in the way, so what are we doing here? But, like, you see some other things that are coming true, like when Alex Jones wants to talk about, like, some people that are pedophiles or any of these other crap, and then it comes out of the news, and you're like, how did he know these things?
Mm-hmm.
Just random tidbits that you would never know. That's their private life. You're like, what the heck, dude? Who does he know, you know? That's whenever I want to talk about that, because, you know, elites know a lot of things that we don't know, you know?
I think there's people that are elite people that know the position they're in, right? Obviously,
yeah.
And I think they're obviously I don't think they're able to speak out, but they want the truth to be known, and
hopefully
so
they tell
somebody like Alex Jones,
and that is some good news to hear. If we still have people that are gonna be that high up and still want to do good and mm-hmm. like speak out somehow, that's amazing. But we just don't hear that a lot. We don't see that a lot, and everything we see is like negative. So it's hard to keep that mindset, you know.
Yeah.
To know that there are people in political power that are still good.
Yeah, not many, but One or two.
And it's dwindling, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Dwindling for sure.
Yeah. So, real quick, when it comes to those people, the Taliban leaders that were in the capital, just to go back to Afghanistan real quick, one of them mentioned that he was in Afghanistan or in Guantanamo for 8 years. And there's only two presidents that have released prisoners or transferred, quote unquote, detainees, quote unquote, to another facility. And they were both Obama and Biden. So,
wow.
Let's see.
I mean, if you follow that little trend there, you might end up with those detainees are a reason that,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of this is happening, I guess.
Of the 693 total former detainees transferred out of Gitmo, 30% are suspected or confirmed to have engaged in terrorist activity after transfer. Of those detainees who were transferred out under Obama, 5.6 are confirmed and 6.8 are suspected of engaging in terrorist activity after transfer. President Biden on July 19, 2021, the Biden administration released Moroccan national Abdul Latif Nasser into the custody of his home country. Nasser was the first Gitmo detainee released since 2016, and after his departure, 39 detainees still remain imprisoned. This guy was supposed to go out in 2016, but there were bureaucratic delays to his release, and then Trump became president, was like, yeah, we're not releasing anybody from Gitmo. They're all going to sit there and rot, which is, that's what I would do if I was president. I'd be like, you're just going to rot in a Cuban prison until you die.
I mean, I guess why they're there is always terrorism.
Mm-hmm. So, they're foreign terrorists that we've captured, and because of the Geneva Convention, and because they don't have any like real home country, because they're terrorists, we can't really send them back home. Most of the time, they're coming from places like Afghanistan or Somalia or some country where we can't just release them back, 'cause they'll just, you know, get out of prison
right
instantly. So we have to detain them, and we can't kill them because that's a violation of, you know, there'd be a war crime. And so we just have to detain them, but we can't really detain them on U.S. soil technically, because then they will be subjected to U.S. rights and laws and that sort of thing. Now, Guantanamo Bay is technically U.S. soil, but we don't really treat it with the same due process as mainland. It's a weird, like, jurisdictional loophole.
Yeah, there's a lot of loopholes there just to really screw over the terrorists, which I don't know if I don't know. I don't know where I stand on that whole thing.
Because you don't like the death penalty, huh?
No, I don't. Now, if they rot in prison or whatever because they did some crazy bad things, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, dude. Because like I always say, it's just like humans, I don't think, should have the right to choose if someone else dies.
Hmm.
Unless it's for your personal safety, right? Then mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, self-defense, obviously. Dude, I'm not going to... There's no way I can tell you not to do that. But it felt... But I don't know.
What if someone's...
It's weird what because if someone's war, like, you know? What do you do with that?
Yeah, you know what if I mean? Someone's planning on killing you?
That's what I'm saying.
Do you do a preemptive strike and kill them first? Or do you wait until they've got the knife in their hand?
Death penalty, I think, is separate from war, in my opinion, if you want to talk about that. So I don't know about war, how I see it, you know, where I see the lines or whatever, because there's no way. Sometimes there's no way for you to get around that kind of war, like a violent whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you're taking a kind of like just Afghanistan, 800 years behind. They're tribalists, all of them. They're all in weird. They're just like that's how they do it. You know, mm-hmm. they get mad at each other and they'll fight, and that's about it. They don't have any reason. There's no reasoning there. You know, they're. If you want to put it bluntly, you know, they haven't evolved to reasoning like, you know, and this is going to sound absolutely terrible. They haven't evolved to reasoning like an American people have, you know, or an American society.
Yeah, it's a different mindset for sure.
Totally different mindset, dude. Culture's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever, you know, Americans are like, hey, you know, you really just can't do this because it's not right. They're like, what do you mean it's not right?
Yeah, we've done this for generations.
Boom. Okay, well, yeah, whatever, and then we fight, right? Because there's no reasoning. They're like, well, no, we're not going to reason with you because we don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here. We're shooting you. So when it comes down to that, I'm like, I don't know if I guess, you know, you got to do what you got to do at that point. I'm not sure, you know. Obviously, I could be the guy that's like, oh, no, peace everywhere. You don't ever want war, you know, that kind of thing. But that just doesn't – that's a naive –
It's a pipe dream. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pipe dream, dude. We're human, so it has to happen.
Yeah. Not only are we human, we're humans with immense, unreconcilable differences.
Right. And you're never going to – and I'm not going to say that I advocate, like, well, CIA and America needs to just get in there and, like –
clean up
shit. Just
shop.
Freaking clean up shit. Like, just do it all the time, every time, no matter what. Or start anything, really.
Yeah.
I don't know. Israel, the way they do their stuff, honestly, seems like we should. That they're the example.
Yeah.
In almost every way, as far as war is concerned.
Yeah, as far as foreign conflict.
They're the example. Because they literally will wait till the last freaking minute. And sometimes, mm-hmm. every freaking once in a while, once in a blue moon, you'll see them be like, oh, we did a preemptive strike. Turns out the missile just sounded an alarm. It wasn't even a missile. And you're like, what the hell? What are you guys doing? That's weird. And they're like, no, it was so that they know we're going to attack them. What? Like, but you hear that kind of stuff and you're like,
they do the knock bomb is what you're talking about.
Yeah, right.
Where it's a bomb that detonates on top of a building and basically rattles and shakes the entire building. And people are like, oh, crap, I'm getting out of here. And then they blow up the building.
Crap out of it. But like that kind of stuff, you're like, okay, there is obviously, honestly, there has to be a humanitarian way to do war. But it might still be violent, right?
Yeah, a more humanitarian way.
A more humanitarian way. Not. I'm not going as far to say that we can't have war ever and blah blah blah. There's mm-hmm. no way, dude. People will die. I'm not gonna say that can't happen. Like, there's no way.
Right.
Of course, I'm just saying there has to be a middle ground somewhere. But you know what, dude? That's also kind of a pipe dream. Like, because you're never gonna like the any of this stuff. Political spectrum. You know, this war or whatever. Violent versus safe spectrum, if you will, mm-hmm. all this stuff. It's never going to be in the center. That's not how it works.
Right.
It doesn't balance. You know, life doesn't balance. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We can go all the way down to our personal life. There's never I'm perfectly in the center.
Yeah, and expand all the way out to internationally and globally. There's no fairness. There's no balance. Right.
It will be one or the other. You know, and if you go too far, you're one of the sides.
Uh-huh.
It's not good.
And my opinion is it'll never ever be fair or balanced.
Right.
It's not ever going to happen. That's why I think countries like the UN and, to a certain extent, the EU are so just silly. You know, like it's cooperation, which I can appreciate cooperation. But most of the time, the UN just squabbles and wastes time. Like, it's just not a productive.
It adds another layer of bureaucracy. Another layer,
exactly.
So on top of your own country's bureaucracy, you're going to add another layer. That's crazy, dude. I'm actually glad that we're not like part of that. We are now, aren't we? Again,
the UN?
No, what did we get out of? We got out of something. What did Trump get us out of?
The JCPOA, which is the Iran deal, and the Paris Climate Accords.
Maybe that was what I was talking about, but that's not even close to what.
And NAFTA. UN is.
NAFTA.
NATO. He threatened to get out of NATO, which is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. There was one of these big things where I was like, "Oh, cool, we're getting out of this."
You got to pay your fair share.
It's a lot of bureaucracy.
Yeah, which actually that worked because now most European countries have pretty much doubled their NATO spending.
Nice, dude.
Real quick, the president's reaction and attitude towards Afghanistan
dude,
is
absolute joke.
Embarrassing.
Yeah.
Horribly embarrassing as an American.
Absolute joke, man. You know, even I don't even care.
Like, if you're like, out here listening, shameful is what it is.
If you're out here listening right now and, you know, you voted for Biden because, you know, he's not Trump. Okay, whatever. But right now, if you're watching what your president is doing, you can't tell me that it is something you wished for.
Yeah.
Tell me that you would have voted for it if you saw it.
Yeah, or a good job.
There's no way. Or he's even doing a good job.
Yeah, there are several ways to pull out of Afghanistan slowly, confidently, and without leaving the Afghanistan military completely alone, and then throwing them under the bus is what the Biden administration did.
You know, he failed when he gave us a deadline.
That was, yeah, absolutely
don't,
stupid.
Don't give us a deadline. Don't give anybody.
You're giving
a deadline.
The Taliban a deadline. They're saying, okay, well, we'll just sit back, wait,
right.
Make sure we've got everything lined up,
right.
Get our strategy together.
And not even that. Mentally, it ruins you. Mm-hmm. If you look at deadlines anywhere else, like let me give myself a fitness deadline. It never works. Because what happens after the deadline? If you make it, what happens after that?
You stop.
You don't keep going.
Yep.
But like, if we didn't give ourselves a deadline, we were just like, you put a plan in place to what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But obviously, if something doesn't work out, like Exhibit A right now, if you know you're pulling out and things are happening, you're like, oh crap, hold on a second. You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's a way to be like, wait a second. We got to figure some things out along the way.
Right.
It's obviously not going to go as planned every time.
Like, it's so it's so remarkable how it happens so quickly. Like, we pulled out of Bagram Air Force Base, and then without telling the Afghani commander when we were leaving, we left in the middle of the night.
What?
Literally left in the middle of the night. Didn't tell the Afghani leader.
Okay, when you say we, how many? This is like
thousands of U.S. troops
yes. are just like peacing out.
Gone.
What overnight, the heck, dude?
And
oh my gosh.
It obviously gets worse. So we left in the middle of the night. Bagram Air Force Base. Didn't tell the Afghani commander we were leaving. So he had no idea. He woke up the next morning and was like, where is everybody? And then hours later, maybe a couple of days, the Taliban have that base. It's gone.
Yeah, no, it was like quick. And that's why the president fled, dude.
Yeah, the president of Afghanistan said it's lost. Literally,
he
the country's
out,
gone.
Like really quick. He was like, wait a second.
He left with
the U.S. just peaced out.
He left with a helicopter full of cash and will never be seen again.
Really?
Yeah, literally.
Okay, well, that kind of sucks.
Yeah. I mean, it's a horribly corrupt country. It's not a democracy. It's not, I mean, wasn't going to be. But that's not why we were there, right? That was why we were there during the Bush years.
But now we were there because what? We were just trying to keep peace?
Right.
That's it. Just basically, we're just keeping peace,
Just keep the Taliban from taking over and harboring a bunch of terrorists.
Give us another station to go to whenever you get out of boot camp.
Well, it's a totally different deployment. But
just kidding, bro. You go in the military. Sorry.
So Obama, not Obama, President Biden was at Camp David when a lot of this started happening. And any good leader would just be like, okay, we're done. My vacation's over. We're not going to be in Canada. We're going straight back to the Situation Room. We're going to figure this out because this is a horrible embarrassment internationally. Instead, he stays at Camp David all weekend, says, I'll release a statement about Afghanistan in a few days, nothing specific.
He canceled some of the press conferences, I think, didn't he? Did he like reschedule
Jen Psaki said no more press conferences because they didn't have any plan. They didn't have any plan. They just said, get out now. And you can tell, like, I've never.
So, is there any way you think this was on purpose? Is there any way you can see this being like, oh yeah, they totally wanted this, or is it just absolutely Biden's administration has totally poor planning and they do not know what they're doing?
Yes,
internationally.
That's exactly what happened. Now, there's multiple reasons I believe this. One, the president is the president, and people will have to listen to him. And Biden said, "I want everyone out now," and everyone. If there's any competency in his administration, they would have said, look, we cannot just do this overnight. Not a thing. Can't do it.
Yeah, sorry. Not possible at all. Sorry, bud.
And then President Biden would have had to say, as commander-in-chief, I am ordering you to withdraw every troop. And that's probably what he did.
You really think that happened?
Yes, absolutely. And
Biden, the incompetent, he can't even spell out a sentence.
Oh, he can, for sure. He can't. But he's got horrible judgment. That's the thing. He's got, when it comes to foreign policy, he's got absolutely horrible judgment. And you can see it, especially when the press asks him about it. He gets very angry and very irritated by any questions. And like when one reporter asked him, is this similar to the fall of Saigon? And he's like, no, absolutely not. The Taliban don't have anything comparable. They're not even close to comparable to the Viet Cong. He didn't say Viet Cong. He said North Vietnamese Army, but they're the Viet Cong. And which is completely untrue. The Taliban now, thanks to all of our Blackhawks and Humvees and tanks and trucks.
All
and
of our very generous donations.
Small arms and medium-sized arms and rockets that we left behind. All of that is now in Taliban hands, and they are very, very capable.
I didn't realize we left that. We literally, like...
We left so we fast.
We pieced out so fast that we don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
How do you... Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. That's why I'm thinking, whoa, that was insane. But, and I've never said this before about any president, even Obama, couldn't stand him. I didn't think he made good decisions, but he was at least competent. I think honestly, the 25th Amendment could and should be invoked, in that President Biden
the incompetency.
Yes, right. Because if he took a cognitive test, he would fail.
Well, I know, but you have to understand. I think that what if? Hear me out here. Have you ever seen House of Cards?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Kamala Harris is pretty evil. Mm-hmm. Right, we've seen it, we know it. Right. She laughs at weird shit, and you're like, what the hell? Okay, what if, you know, the administration was like, I don't know, you know, this isn't a good idea, and he was like, I'm going to do it. And they're like, okay, fine. And they, like, in the back of their mind, they know that if we do this crap, and he looks like an absolute joke, that maybe they can get him to take a freaking cognitive test, get him out of there, and then Kamala's there.
He doesn't even have to take a test. It's not up to him. It's up to if
Who decides that then?
The cabinet.
Really?
Yeah.
They're going to do it. Guaranteed they're going to do it. You said it yourself. You're like, dude, 2 years. I give it less than 2 years. Biden's out. Kamala's in.
Yeah.
And it's got to be based off of cognitive tests. How else are they going to do it, like, well? Like, how else is it going to actually work, you know? We can't impeach the guy. There's not really much. We probably could, but there's
– Well.
Conservatives aren't going to do it. The GOP's not going to do it. They're freaking – they are spineless. Dude. They're spineless. They're not going to freaking do that crap. I think that his own cabinet, though.
I disagree.
His own administration and Kamala herself wants to be freaking president, and I think they would easily turn on Biden. I think they would totally do it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, for the 25th Amendment, for those that don't know, it's essentially if the president is unable to execute his oath of office, then all of the cabinet have to unanimously concur that he is unable to fulfill his oath of office, and they have the right to remove him from office, and the vice president is then sworn in as president. So it has to be unanimous, like all the cabinet secretaries have to say, okay, yeah, and they sign a oath of, you know, affirmation saying he's incompetent and he's out.
So what do you think Kamala's doing right now? Kamala's back here trying to convince them that he's not able for office.
She's always the last person in the room, she says. She's always whispering in his ear.
I'm telling you, dude.
And if Biden was smart, he would do the opposite of what she says. She's waiting till he slips on the stairs, right?
That's what I'm saying. She is so... Jeez. And you want to see House of Cards? Like, if you guys haven't seen it, you can go watch it. Don't watch the third season. Third season sucks, and beyond that, it's terrible. But up to that point, dude, I don't know, man.
So...
It's like the real deal.
Yeah, so... I think in regards to impeachment, in 2022, I think the Republicans will take over the House, knock on wood. And I think...
This is real wood too.
They're probably going to take over the Senate as well. And if we can win, this is a stretch, right? But if we can win 8 Senate seats, I could see him being removed from office for, you know, being like actually impeached. Because Kirsten Sinema and Joe Manchin might sway that, and then we'd have 58+2.
Do you really think It would just be, I would actually be very surprised to see the GOP or anybody to lead an impeachment.
After they impeached Donald Trump twice, dude. I could definitely see it.
Really?
And not just as revenge.
But his own party, GOP wasn't even with Trump most of the time.
They were only one or two senators voted to impeach him.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, okay.
Yeah. Right. So,
I mean, I feel like a lot of them would have things that they've said. They're like,
but the thing is,
away, you know,
when it comes down to it, they didn't impeach him for anything.
It was nothing.
It was all nothing. It was all fluff. It was stupid.
There's a lot of money spent from our taxpayer money for nothing.
Absolutely. So the difference is with Biden is he actually is incompetent and actually is making horrible decisions and actually is corrupt. His son is selling paintings for $500,000 and has never painted a damn thing in his life. He's never painted a fucking fence. And he's selling paintings for anywhere from $75,000 to $500,000.
That's random. Where did that come from?
It shows how corrupt the Biden family is, and that he could be impeached for anything. He could be impeached for incompetency. He could be impeached for corruption. He could be impeached.
But is that not capitalism? That's awesome. No, he's able to freaking sell these paintings there.
No, because it's influence. They're buying influence.
Well, I get okay, but hold on.
That's
a second.
Not capitalism. That's corruption. That's not capitalism at all. That's corruption. That he's not getting rich because he's a good painter and he's doing a great job, like capitalism, the best wins. This is corruption.
Yeah, but isn't an influencer the same thing? All these Instagram guys that are out here making money because they're like influencing a product. They don't make the product; they're just influencing it.
They're advertising. They're advertisers.
Yeah, they're advertisers. So how? So is that corruption as a politician or as a Biden's
there's
son?
There's a big difference.
What I'm trying to get how is
there's a huge difference between a influencer who's doing it to advertise something, right? Sure. Either themselves or a look or whatever,
right?
And someone who has access to trillions of dollars of other people's money. Joe Biden, right?
Joe Biden's the freaking president. But what is this Hunter Biden?
He's his son. If you had a son.
So you're saying that it goes to the family. So you're saying it's not necessarily Hunter. Obviously, you're saying it goes to the Biden family. It technically is going to this president, and that's corruption. And I get that.
And it's not like Hunter Biden can't write his dad a check.
Right. I thought you were going to lead with the story of him like doing deals in China and crap that we've seen,
Exactly.
That's what I thought. That's straight to the point corruption.
He was in office as vice president. This is while he's in office as president. Either way, it's corruption. Either way, it's pure. It's not even nepotism because he's not. Well, there is a lot of nepotism in the Biden White House, but it's corruption in that the guy is doing something he's not good at. His paintings are absolutely horrible. It's like cheap motel art. It's bad. And earning something because you have style or you have an artistic ability to. An artistic and social ability to relate to people. To go back to your Instagram influencer or whatever.
Right.
They have an artistic and social ability to relate to people on a mass scale. Sure. And that's how they make their money. Fine. Whatever. I don't care. Not a big fan of it. I think it's a detriment to the advancement of our culture. But there's a big difference between that and a politician's son earning, essentially millions, potentially millions, on crappy art. You know what I mean?
I guess, dude. But what about Trump made money? He has a business,
But he abdicated all responsibility and gave it all to his kids, and that's a multi-billion-dollar company.
Well, sure.
His company, he made way more off his company than he could have.
I know, dude, for sure. But let's just say, Trump's son's making money off this Trump organization.
Mm-hmm.
How is Hunter Biden automatically connected to Biden? What if they have the whole separate thing going too? I don't know, dude. I fail to see how just selling paintings is it. Like, that's the thing. That's what we're going to get them on, It's crazy.
It's not okay. I don't know how else to explain it other than if someone's paying your son millions of dollars, then they can just slide you the money cash to get a meeting to influence U.S. policy?
Yeah, I know. No, I totally see it. I get it.
That's awesome. Totally different than...
But you don't think that they could make the same argument for Trump?
Why wouldn't have they impeached Trump for that then?
They wouldn't have, dude. I'm just trying to come up with ways that they would
but
come
they,
up...
But they impeached they would, him for a perfectly legitimate phone call.
Oh, dude, no, that whole thing... Okay, no, I'm not saying they... Yes.
Like, that would have been way... They actually had ammo to impeach him on, if that's the case.
Well, that's what I'm... All I'm trying to say is if they come out and they're like, we're going to impeach Biden because Hunter Biden has corruption, with whatever he's selling,
mm-hmm.
and he's sliding this money. He's lobbying his own father, right? That's the corruption, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then what are they? I'm just trying to come up with something where they would be like, okay, well, if Trump was doing the same crap. They would probably say, let's just say, Trump was doing the same crap. His son was sliding the money,
Then I would say, okay, well, why didn't you impeach him for it?
Okay, so you're saying that is a reason that they could do that.
Of course.
They could come up with that and say, let's just... Okay. That's. I just was trying to. I thought it was like this new thing that was happening. Does every president do that? Like his own kids probably make money because they're freaking president's kids, dude.
Mm-mm.
You don't think so?
No.
Like they don't go out and sell something. Like if I made a stupid ass shoe that looks absolutely ridiculous, but I was the president's son, that shoe's gonna sell, dude. You know. I'm just trying to come up with stupid shit that you would sell.
And then maybe in 2021.
You're going to have the money. Yeah, right. You're going to have... Literally right now. I'm going to have the money and it's going to be great.
But that happened before, like when Jimmy Carter was president, his brother Billy Carter came out with Billy Beer. It was his own...
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So Jimmy Carter, I don't know if you knew this, is the best thing he did as president. He legalized brewing beer at home.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's why we have all these microbreweries everywhere.
It wasn't even legalized?
No, you can brew beer at home. You can't distill alcohol at home. That's illegal. It's moonshining.
I know. I didn't know that. Is it still illegal?
Yeah. Yeah. Distilling alcohol at home. Like if I had... I've done it. If...
SWAT comes in. No, no one would give a crap.
So I actually made my own mead, which is like a honey wine.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I don't like it.
Really?
It's yeah.
You gotta try my mead. I'm a mead pro. So
did you say meat or mead? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, dude.
I'm a meat bro.
Yeah,
so my dad was a chemistry teacher at a community college, and he was like, we have all these extra all this extra glass that the school is going to throw away because we've updated all of our science equipment. He was like, I can bring it home. We can distill some of this mead. I was like, yeah, let's do that. So me and my dad...
By the way, we've had him on the show. His name's Don Bricker.
Yep.
Awesome dude.
Yeah, so we put it on a little like heater. It was like this little cloth heater, you know, you see in the science class. Not a Bunsen burner, but just like a cloth heat pad. And it heated up the mead and evaporated it and went down the condensation tube, and it was really cool.
Really?
It was like... So the mead itself was like a amber color, like honey color, and that's what it's made from. And the alcohol we got was like very, very, like very lightly tinged. It was like pretty much clear. And I just took like one little sip, and it was so good. Like you get all the honey flavor, like all the sweetness.
Yeah.
But with like no sugary taste, and it was extremely strong. Like I was like, whew.
Dude, really?
I want to do it again. It was fun. It tasted amazing.
There's a coffee maker that just came out that's supposed to represent the old timey stuff, and it does the same style.
Huh.
But it like has a little steamer that like it like gets so hot it finally like, tips over or some crap and like it's like weird, but it's pretty cool.
That's cool. So anyway, yeah. So experiment. the whole like point behind that weird segue or the weird
Jimmy Carter legalized freaking and he had a Billy Brewery or whatever.
So Billy Carter did. Billy Carter's beer failed miserably because it was a crappy beer, right?
Yeah, sure.
So just because you're a president's kid doesn't mean you're going to have a successful company.
Okay, whoa. You're right. And I was trying to say that. You're right. Okay.
Exactly. Okay. That's capitalism.
Though, in 2021, I'll tell you this. It probably is true that you could come out and be like, I'm a famous guy. Buy this. And they'll be like, all right, cool. Bought.
Some people, maybe.
Seems like it, dude.
But I don't think you could really get a successful business that made a lot of money that would influence the president.
Well, apparently Hunter Biden's selling crappy art for $500,000 a piece.
Which is corruption. That's what I'm saying. So
you know what I wonder? Oh, now here's what would make it. Here's where I would be like, definitely corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely no matter. I wouldn't even had to ask if the people buying the art are politicians or... You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's where I'd be like, that's what I'm saying. No way.
It is. It's undisclosed, private buyers. No one's... It's a secret list of these buyers of this
really?
Art. Yes.
That's what I did. Okay, yeah, so yeah, this is yeah. like a big... This is like a... Wow. That's a juicy little...
No one's allowed to know who... And the funny thing is the buyer is not allowed to tell Hunter Biden that he bought his art during the exhibition of the art. So they had this exhibition of all the art, right? And everybody would come and meet the artist and see all the art and talk about the art. But the buyer was not allowed to say, I'm going to buy this art from you. He could say, I really like this and I think it might be on my wall sometime in the future. Probably not, because it's a piece of crap art.
But it will be, because he wants to freaking give Biden administration money.
If you see a bid on this art, maybe I did it, maybe I didn't. We'll talk after this expo, and I'll let you know.
What the heck?
Yeah,
this
stupid.
Is the way they can get around it. Like,
completely.
That's crazy,
it's
man.
Money laundering is what it is.
Wow.
Yeah. So, okay, so real quick, to go back on the impeachment, and then we'll get to the Facebook warrior segment. If Republicans were going to impeach Biden, I think the perfect, like absolutely most perfect avenue for impeachment is the border crisis.
Oh, dude, we're already trying, bro.
What just happened in, I think, is it Texas, right? Texas judge? You mentioned it like right before the show.
Federal, just a federal judge. Well, federal judge. I don't know if it was in Texas. Or... decided that we're going to take back, do the whole freaking stay in Mexico.
Remain in Mexico policy is being implemented again because a federal judge ruled essentially that the Biden administration's approach to the border was basically in violation of the law because he was not enforcing the law.
Correct. It's insane. And I'm like, why wouldn't we even... Okay, here we go. Nope, that's Texas minute. Where'd it go, dude?
And
whatever.
So, I mean, you can keep looking for it. I'll keep talking about it. But the reason I think that'd be so good is because it's an obvious abdication of presidential duty. And if you do not enforce the laws as president, you are not obeying your oath of office, and you can be impeached for it and removed from office. He obviously, very clearly, is not enforcing the law on the border.
So, it looks like, it doesn't really tell me, federal judges ruling the government reinstate, controversial, whatever.
Fifth Circuit Court of
this
Appeals.
This is just talking about them going to the appeals, yeah. So, the Biden administration is going to try to appeal it. And that's the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and that's the appeals court that covers Texas. Where the federal judge ruled against the administration on Friday. So that's where the judge paused the effect of his ruling for 7 days to give the federal government a chance to appeal.
Yeah, in an opinion case brought by the Texas and Missouri, U.S. District Judge Matthew J. Kaczmarek of the Northern District of Texas, so he is a Texas judge, found that the Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas hadn't offered sufficient rationale to end the so-called Remain in Mexico program in violation of administrative law.
Yeah.
Boom. At the very least, we could get Alejandro Mayorkas out of there.
So, the interesting thing that the progression of this, you know, Abbott has tried his avenues and like, hey, we're at a state of emergency, help us out, you know, all this stuff. And now, finally, like, okay, fine. You know what? We'll play hardball and we'll do it the judge, you know, the ruling way, you know, the court's way.
I think they've been trying to do this every way they can, but the courts just move a lot slower, so that's what happens.
This is crazy, man. So you think this is the grounds that they'll have to be like, you didn't help us out at all. Texas is freaking, some crap's happening. We don't have any buses right now because of you. You know.
Go back to that paragraph I just read. Because... hadn't offered a sufficient rationale to end the so-called Remain in Mexico program in violation of administrative law.
My problem is that they asked the administration to implement the policy in good faith. So, and I don't know if that means it'll actually happen. So far, Biden hasn't listened to a thing that a court has said. Exhibit A would be the eviction moratorium.
Well,
the CDC is not allowed to do that and put in place an eviction moratorium, according to the Supreme Court and Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And Biden was like, okay, well, here you go. Do it anyway. Like, how is that? He's obviously not listening to a freaking word anybody's saying.
Of course.
As far as law goes.
Right.
So when this guy comes out and says, in good faith, I get it. So you have to do that. But
you can get him on that anyway. You can get him on that right there.
If he doesn't do it, then you're like,
I'm saying, ordering the CDC to implement a moratorium.
That's an impeachment.
On eviction.
This is all against, like, isn't it what? What amendment is it? It has to be against an amendment. The eviction moratorium? What is the Third Amendment?
Third Amendment is no quarter. We cannot quarter troops in.
Well, that wouldn't be it.
That's definitely not it. It's never been a thing in America. It was a thing in the colonial era. But
in any case, it is illegal. I don't know, Congress, Supreme Court was like, yeah, you can't do that. And then he just did it anyway. So I don't know if they were trying to say, like, you have to, there's a process for it, or if they were saying, like, you can't do that at all. Because we already had it in place. There's no way it couldn't have just been done. I don't know. And then the fact that the CDC did it, they don't have the authorization.
They don't have the authority to do it. There's no way. And the thing is, once it's challenged and it goes through the courts and all of that,
right,
most likely Congress will have acted and made the moratorium retroactive.
Right, but we're dealing with the thing of, like, it's 60 days. So that's why they're not doing anything. They're like, well, by the time it's, you know, like we talked about in the last show, it's by the time we're done with the 60 days, then we're going to be like, oh, okay, we finished the court hearing, you know, the first court hearing. So,
and I think by the time it even gets challenged in court, they're probably just going to rescind the moratorium anyway, because nobody really thinks it's necessary anymore, which it's not. It never really was.
Never really was, yeah.
And they don't want to have to fight that legal battle.
Yeah, man. That, I mean, honestly, I kind of agree. Like, there's like just a lot of wasted time. It's a lot of wasted time there.
Yeah, and what has the Biden administration even accomplished?
Did you see
anything?
Did you see like what's going on with the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell?
Mm-mm.
And he's doing like he had his big. I think he already did it. I'm not sure if he's going to or he already did it. He's like presenting all of his stuff, his evidence or whatever,
mm-mm,
for the vote. And he asked to cease the, not cease, what is it called?
Cease?
No, get rid of the, like, just drop the case. I forgot what it's called. It's called something. He was going to drop the case, and the judge said you can't.
Which case? What are you?
Like, for the, like, the voter fraud thing. He's, like, going against Dominion.
Mm.
Dominion sued him, right? For, what's it called? Defamation. Sued him for defamation, right? $1.8 billion or some crap like that. It's crazy. Because of how he's ruined Dominion's name or whatever. Well, first of all, I don't think we should have proprietary voter software. Like, that shouldn't exist.
Right.
We can't see the code.
100%.
No one can see the code. Why?
That's stupid. It should be public information.
It should be public information. So the code for how it works, all that stuff, everything, how it's built, all that stuff should be public information.
But that's up to the states.
If you get caught for speeding, you can ask them, what software do you use? What guns do you use? Mm-hmm. I want to see that. And they'll give it to you. They'll straight up give it to you. You want to see that? Cool. Here you go.
Yeah,
discovery. That happens, dude.
Yep.
And I guess maybe Mike was thinking he'd find some other stuff when he got in there. And maybe he hasn't. And he asked to be like, let's drop the case. And they can't do it now. I don't know why he would ask that, though. That was the article. The article was about him trying to drop the case. The judge said no. We don't know anything else. So we don't know why. Really weird that he was doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And we don't know what's going to happen.
Well, they're still doing an audit in...
Cyber Symposium or something like that is what it's called. I don't
know. They're still doing an audit in Arizona.
Yeah.
That's still happening.
Yeah, I know. It's still going on.
And they're still doing audits. They just started new audits. Not necessarily audits, but analysis of voting machines, Dominion voting machines, and software in, I believe it's Wisconsin.
Yeah, and it's just like, no matter what, dude,
nothing's going to change.
There are some anomalies that need to be investigated.
I agree.
I'll straight up say that.
1,000%.
You know, there are some anomalies that have to be investigated, I believe. And I also think, like I said, proprietary voter software should not exist at all. If you want to be real honest, let's do what Israel does. Like I've said the whole freaking time, Israel does everything great. Well, they do this great too. They don't use electronic voting systems at all.
Right.
Well, let's get back to that. You know? You want it to be real? You want it to be accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Number two, pencil and a Scantron. That's the way it should be.
Good work takes longer. Good work takes time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that. Like, you know that. Like, there's machines that help a little bit, but whenever you just totally replace the human and the actual good work, you're getting...
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be good.
It's corruptible.
Yeah, dude, for sure.
I mean, people are corruptible too, but there's also, it's easier to hold people accountable,
right,
than it is a machine and software.
Look, guys, if you like our podcast, you like our information, you like everything we're about, we like you too. But also, if you have any questions or comments or concerns, be sure, feel free, email us, listentoastypodcast@gmail.com, or get on our Instagram, toasty.podcast, and DM us. We are always willing to help out a friend in need or talk to you. You know, maybe you don't know how to talk to your friends about this kind of stuff. We're here to help, man.
Yeah.
Also, I would love to have people like ask questions on the show. That'd be sick.
Call in
or something. Anything. If you want to email us, we might feature you up on a show and be like, this guy asked a question. Let's answer it on the show. That'd be cool. Be a cool little segment, you know? Yeah.
And now it's time for our Facebook Warriors.
This is what everyone's been clamoring for. You could win a toasty tea if you comment on my Facebook question every week, and that's what we call the Facebook Warrior. Get ready. Today is a juicy one.
Guys, today's Facebook Warrior question was, do you believe cryptocurrency will replace fiat currency, the American dollar, within the next decade? So if you guys don't know what that means, the fiat dollar, the fiat is after the gold standard was removed.
If you don't know what that means, just shut the podcast off now.
Right, yeah, you probably don't even care.
We don't have time to explain all this to you.
Right, but like as far as millennials are concerned, you've been in cryptocurrency, you know what's going on. That's kind of what we were getting at here.
Yeah.
26 comments. Including my own. Let's get toasty.
All right. I think like three were mine too.
Oh, really? Heck yeah, dude. Corey Evans. No, checks didn't replace cash. The credit card hasn't replaced cash.
The same
PayPal, thing. Similar services haven't replaced cash. And crypto won't either, he says. Cash is easy. The tooth fairy can leave it under the pillow. Parents can pay the babysitter. Kids can use it to buy candy.
Dumb argument.
Yeah. Old ladies can hoard pennies under the... Well, if you knew this guy, he's like funny. So he's being funny. Old ladies can hoard... But he also might actually believe what he said at the beginning. I don't know. Old ladies can hoard pennies under the bed. Crypto is currently only accessible to the tech savvy, which is... actually a very small segment of the global population as well as the U.S. Will it be a real player in the economy? Absolutely. But I'll wager there won't be a switch within our generation. Within our generation. I said within the next decade. Right. I said within the next decade, so that's 10 years. And I guess, you know, maybe not after seeing this stuff. Maybe it will take a lot longer than I'm thinking. Because you're thinking like, I guess I should compare it to like technology, right? So AI is not going to be a real big thing as far as things we're afraid of for a long time. Self-driving cars, we're still freaking waiting on that. Tesla's the only ones to do it, and they're getting investigated now for that. Anyway.
Well, let me slow you down just a little bit there. But so Volkswagen, the ID4 and the ID Buzz will be level 5 autonomous. That's coming out next year.
Well, BMW has cars that should be level 5 now. But
and in Europe, it's all over the place.
I know, dude. I get it. But for us to actually like use it, how long is it going to take government to be like, okay, yeah, we're cool with this?
It's legal right now.
You're saying that, but like I just said, Tesla's getting investigated for their freaking self-driving
stuff. Yeah, because they suck.
They suck.
As far as like being totally, totally autonomous,
oh.
The technology is not quite there, but by 2030, it's going to... Majority of cars will be self-driving.
So that's almost a decade? Damn. All I'm saying is it takes longer than you think. I thought maybe 5 years from now we're going to be like, we're there, we're done.
I don't know.
Uber's going to be freaking flying small little city helicopters with you in it.
Five years ago, Bitcoin is worth pennies. And no one was using it.
So it could be faster. You're right. Yeah, okay,
so,
cool.
So real quick. Checks and credit cards, all of that, that's not a different form of
currency. No, I agree. Yeah. I totally agree. He's not right there because he's saying like, yeah, it's not.
It's a different way.
Different ways to use cash. The dollar. That's different ways to use the dollar.
Yes, it has nothing to do with
cryptocurrency. Is literally supposed to replace that.
Yeah.
But he's thinking that. I'll say why he's thinking that way is because right now you have to put in your dollar to buy crypto.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying it's still an exchange. There's still an exchange happening where you put in your dollar and you get crypto out of it. So you're still using the dollar to get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's probably thinking. Yeah. The fact is, though, that's just like any other currency. I have to trade my currency to get yen. You know, I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I didn't say like... all I meant was, will it replace fiat currency? Not, you know, other forms of currency. Doug Worth, ultimately, governments would love to get rid of cash. It's much easier for them to track digital assets. The big issues is how do they make you use their digital currency on not what's just out there? What? I'm not sure what do you mean by that? Next. That's a weird comment. Astro Woodman, nah, full speed into 401k and Roth IRAs.
That doesn't make any sense. Next.
He didn't know the comment. Okay. Wow, buddy. Mike Zolo would never replace. I see it more of a store of value than an exchangeable currency. Chris Funk says, didn't know you felt that way. This is great. Same with Mike Zolo, ruins his comment by saying, same with gold. You wouldn't go buy things in a store with it, but you would certainly invest and hold a chunk of four hopes it appreciates. Where do you think the dollar came from? Chris Funk, doubtful, but it will move up the ladder in terms of market share. Currently, what, $1.7 trillion in total crypto space? Expect that to be 4 to 5 times in 10 years. Easy. So he's saying it'll move up the ladder like crazy in terms of market share, but that's about it. Ricky Witt, decade? Nah, absolutely not. Okay. Steven Anderson, not in the next decade, maybe 5 or so away from that happening. 5 or so decades away? Dang. Matt Bricker, that's within a decade. No, 5 decades. It's within a decade? Please show me your maths. He didn't explain that he meant decades, yeah. But I could tell by the way he was saying next decade, maybe 5 or so away. There was a little bit of context. I was like, okay, I got you. I feel you, Steven, even though Matt was like, nah, I get
Be
you.
Be more precise in your language.
He's always telling me the same thing, dude. Trust me. Anthony Cordero. Nope. By the way, Anthony, you won the Toasty Tea like 3 times ago. I still haven't heard from you, man. Would love to give you a Toasty Tea. It'd be sick. You need to message me on Facebook.
Yeah. Also, expand more on your answers.
Yeah, also, don't just say nope, bro. But you did win. The last whatever comment that was that you won on was a good comment. So, I don't know, man. Email me. Just figure me out, dude. Find somewhere to contact me. Gianni Valencia, banks and Wall Street will never make that happen, but they're the ones investing in crypto, buddy. Dwayne Farmer, nah. Shane Busby, not anytime soon. Most of the money we print goes to less stable countries to back their money. And here comes Maddie B. Random memory just showed up. That's dumb. Sky Day, oh, that's me. This is a very good point. Many don't know that we do that in order to prop up the fiat currency. What I meant by saying that was we send our own money to other countries in order to make our money worth something.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Bricker comes in and says, don't know what you mean by that. We spend more on paying the interest on our own debt than we give as foreign aid. 10 times more. The trade deficit is also about $600 billion. I agree we are propping up some relatively unstable currencies, but it's nowhere near most of the money the Fed prints and spends. True. Shane Busby, it's not like I work for the Department of Treasury or that I go to monthly meetings where foreign orders of U.S. printed cash through the AFRB are a common topic or anything. Wait, hold on. Does he? Shane, do you? Are you saying you work for the Treasury, bro?
Do you know this person?
No, I don't. I can't click on his profile. I mean, I guess I could, right? Okay, I'll just blur it out. We'll see. Studies at TCU, studied at Thomas Edison, studied at Naval Nuclear Power Training Command, studied at Collin County. It doesn't say what he does, though. So is he still studying? Is he still a kid?
Is he? Does he work for the Department of Treasury?
Yeah, it doesn't say here.
I'm confused.
Does he, though?
I can't. It's hard to read sarcasm in, you know, just a text.
It is. You're right, dude. So, Shane, do you work for the Treasury, bro? Are you the guy?
But even so, it's like...
Interesting.
Anyway, next.
Sakai Dozier. They'll be a convenient alternative at the very least. Oh, the very least. Likely certain types of purchases will be associated with crypto while others are specifically fiat related. It's definitely useful as a wealth storage tool, so perhaps as a method of wealth transfer between holders of digital assets? Oh. Jason Avils. Yes, it will, because big business and banks are buying into Bitcoin.
Yep.
Like crazy. And he's right. Laurel Johnson, you should add my dad. He's got the podcast equipment. This is a random comment. Hey, hold on, though. That's it. We literally said last episode, you can comment whatever you want. Remember that?
Get out of here, Laurel.
No, dude. That's Eric's girlfriend. Thank you for the comment, Laurel. Gosh. Jesse Hobbs, he's actually super interested in this stuff. He's the guy that was on live that one time.
Oh, man. This is a long answer.
Telling me the gummy worms were good after workouts. Thank you, brother. Anyway, So as somebody who is deep invested into crypto since 2016, has done hours and hours of research, that's hard for me to give a straightforward answer to that. But what I can say is that crypto has so many use purposes now, aside from working on solving cross-border payment issues all the way to staking and making interest on your investment. The best answer I can give to this question is that the crypto I hold my biggest investments in currently has a debit card, which allows you to swipe it at any place that accepts debit cards, which is everywhere, and it just takes the amount of coins out of your portfolio that the purchases was equivalent to. So the biggest takeaway from what I am trying to say here is that you don't even have to convert your cryptocurrency to USD to make purchases anymore. You can literally purchase items with your cryptocurrency without having to transfer USD funds to your bank. So your exchange, in other words, is your bank. And that says it right there. If it, I mean, that's we're there. We're almost there, dude.
Yeah.
But my thing, my thinking in asking this question, guys, if you're listening right now or watching on YouTube, was that, you know, replacing a currency is not necessarily now I can put my dollars into Bitcoin and it's Bitcoin. That's not what I really meant. What I really was trying to get at was, is our fiat currency going to fail because of inflation so much that we actually have to think of something else to prop up? And I don't know how that works, and I was wondering if someone would come up and talk to me and say something about how would that even happen. How do you replace a currency, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how do you do that? It's not a matter of, let me put my dollars into the Bitcoin. Well, the dollars are still worthless, so why would that work? That wouldn't work. If what I'm saying would be true and the dollars are worthless, then there would be no reason to put them into Bitcoin to make you would make money.
Yeah, eventually, right? If that happens, if the dollar does become worthless, then you would be working for Bitcoin instead of for a dollar.
Right. It would literally complete. That's what I meant. Like, it would completely replace everything. And then you're like, it's like just saying.
And it would just be a dot. Like, we would just get rid of the U.S. dollar, and then the federal government would adopt Bitcoin. As the official currency, right, of the government, which will never ever happen.
Well, and you don't think so?
No.
And you've seen China like tell people like you can't. Basically, they're trying to adopt their own Bitcoin as well. Matt Bricker, well, it looks like Matty B needs to comment on this one. Here I come. Well, I think it depends on what you mean by replace. Short answer is no, not with most things. However, I think we will see a lot of the smaller coins drop out, and the new coins won't come around as much, and we will see Bitcoin, Ethereum, and yes, Dogecoin becomes much more mainstream, and the prices of those coins will eventually stabilize. Before 2030, you will be able to buy some cars, pay your Netflix account or other bills, and maybe even your babysitter with crypto. Just don't expect to get your tax returns in Dogecoin. Either way, the dollar is doomed with inflation and these new currencies. That's what I was getting at, right? Like, I think that inflation is insane. I actually think it's higher than they're saying. I think it's higher than they're saying. They're saying 5%. Dude, it's got to be higher than that. And Matt Bricker adds another one. Also, it's going to take a very – were you like on the pot? Like, oh, I got to think about this one.
No, it's just at work.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Dang. Okay. Anyway. Also, it's going to take a very long time before crypto prices stabilize enough for Bitcoin loans and or credit. Most Americans make payments on everything, and you won't be able to get a Bitcoin loan. That's a good point. I like that bad boy too. Boom. There you go, buddy.
There's no, like, how do you charge interest on a Bitcoin?
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't know.
So,
how do you charge interest on a Bitcoin?
How are you going to buy a car if you don't pay cash, right? You don't pay for the whole car at once. You got to have a car loan, like most people, and then you pay that car loan off. But you won't be able to pay interest because all of your...
I guess I was thinking maybe it would be, like, depreciated somehow. Like, maybe one Bitcoin would be, like... You know, like kind of like stocks, right? It would somehow be like controlled depreciation almost.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, that's
interest. But who sets that? Does the loan set that? Does the bank set it? Does the...
Right.
Whoever invented Bitcoin set it? It's like there's no...
No, he doesn't set it on purpose. That's the problem, right? Because it was created to be like this open source thing that's actually very, very secure. I don't know. A lot of things. But who do you think won this
probably me. No, go back.
What the?
Go back up.
We got this. This guy had a really good comment.
The really long one was really good.
Oh, Jesse Hobbs.
Yeah, Jesse Hobbs said that was pretty, really well thought out. Obviously.
Right.
And then the one that might work for the Treasury, I'd be interested to see if he works like Shane Busby. I'd be interested to see if he knows that.
Yeah. Are you saying you work for the Treasury? I'm going to reply right now.
So, if he does, then maybe he deserves a t-shirt. Also, he should come on the podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, you work for the Treasury. Also, you should be on our show sometime.
If he works for the Treasury, not just, I don't know. I just want some random guy on.
Well, I had a random guy on. We saw how that went. So, yeah, I guess you're right.
Let him answer that question. Then maybe we'll see.
Nice.
But, yeah. I think that's about
it. Well, heck yeah, dude. That about does it, guys. And Jesse Hobbs, if you're listening, you won the Toasty Tea. So I will send that over to you. I just need your address and your shirt size, Brother Bear. Okay, cool. That's it. Like, share, subscribe, guys, with the main one being share, and we are outie.
Stay toasty, everybody.
Stay toasty. Thanks for listening or watching if you're on YouTube. You can find us at all the podcast platforms there are in the world. You can also find us on YouTube and follow us there. We are available everywhere. Please share the show if you liked it. The only way we grow is if you share, and that means you care. You can find me at The Real Sky Day on all social media platforms, and you can go see our website at therealskyday.com. See all the stuff we have to offer. We also offer apparel, and that actually does help out the show. therealskyday.com/shop, of course. But above all else, stay toasty. Toasty.